walk like Moses, right through the waves. One day I'll see that promised land no longer slaves. Though the fear is talking, no, I can't take out my faith. I'm gonna pray, I'm gonna pray. I'll praise the mountain, moving body, raising breaker of chains. Gonna pray, I'm gonna pray. I'll praise the heaven seated, undefeated, highest amazed.
Good morning, church. I realized it's been a little while since I've seen you, so good to see you all. I'm glad you made it through the torrential downpour. I didn't realize it was as bad until I was already on the move, which, you know, I was kind of thankful for. But this morning, we're talking about anxiety. Aren't you glad you came? Yeah. Right? And I want to tell you about a moment many, many years ago when I was young and spry and athletic, and I was never athletic. Before I got married, I was at camp. Everybody loves camp. When you go to camp, it's so great. But I was a youth pastor at the time, and one of my jobs that week was to video all the middle school students doing all the things, right? And so I was so dedicated to my job, and I go into the gymnasium, and the kids are climbing a two-story climbing wall, and I was like, oh, this is, I'm going to get an amazing shot. I'm going to make them look like heroes in this moment. And so I went behind the climbing wall, and I convinced the 19-year-old who was running the rec staff that I was really capable of going up the backside of the climbing wall. Now, you know what's not on the backside of a climbing wall? Safety equipment. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. But I was like, I have no fear. I'm young and dumb. And I looked at it, and from where we were standing, I was like, I got this. And it looked like a ladder to me. But then after I had, like, convinced her I could do it, I got closer to it, and it actually was the length of my body between each one, between each rung. And so I was like, I'm not climbing this like a ladder like I had in my head, which non-athletes can do, right? But there was a cross beam like this between, and I was like, I'll take off my shoes and I'll go barefoot and I'll shimmy up these cross beams. Two stories high, right? Okay. I was wearing the video camera. I was like, I got this. I get to the top, and I have had a full-on workout, right, getting up, so I'm sweating. It's actually hotter. It's two stories up inside of a gymnasium, and I go to get the first shot, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm very high up. And I freaked out. And I freaked out so badly, like even telling you the story right now, my palms are sweating again, not quite as badly as that day. The bottoms of my feet are sweating. Did you know when you have anxiety that the bottom of your feet sweat? It's crazy, the amount of anxiety I had at the top of this. And so poor little 19-year-old realizes she's in deep trouble, right? Now, she was 19, young and spry and athletic, and she shimmies her way up, and she's like, how are you doing? And I was like, I'm not good. I'm about to die. And I tell her this, and she's thinking to herself, yes, you are. But she didn't say that. Of course, she was like, I'm going to distract her enough. She's going to get herself together, and she's going to get down. And then I was not complying. I was like, I know what you're doing. I know you're trying to distract me. I'm freaking out. I'm about to slip to my death. Do you see that crank that has the belay equipment to keep you safe? My brains are going to be on that. So she's like, this is real bad. She's like, I'll be right back. And I knew she was thinking, she's going to die. I don't know what to do. And so she was going down to get back up, right? Because she's 19. She doesn't know what to do with this mid-20s person, right, who thinks she's athletic. And so her first move as she got back out is she put her arm over one of the bars, and I was like, oh, this chicken is going to chicken wing her way down. And I chicken winged all the way down this thing. I mean, that's why I'm here today, right? But that day, everything changed for me. I'm still afraid of heights. This is high for me. being up on this stage. I don't climb ladders anymore because the sweats start to happen almost instantly if I go up too high. Anxiety does that to you. It teaches you something. And this morning, Jesus actually has something to teach us about anxiety. We're going to be in Matthew 6. We're going to start in verse 25, but let me pray for us as we head into his word this morning. God, I ask that you would teach us, that we would hear your words, and that we would learn from you, and that we would be shifted and changed and transformed to be more like you. In your name we pray. Amen. So as I was doing the research on this and thinking about things, I started reading, my usual translation is the NIV translation. And in the NIV translation, they use the word worry. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. And for me personally, worry feels like a nothing burger type word. It's like, right? Like that doesn't feel strong enough for how I'm feeling at the top of this. I am not just worried about dying. I have anxiety about dying. And it feels like kind of an easy breezy word, the word worry, and makes me think Jesus doesn't really understand me when we just use the word worry. It's not enough. It doesn't hold enough power for me for what I'm actually feeling. Maybe he doesn't know what I actually am worried about. It's real. It's big. And it's something that I feel like, it's kind of like those memes where it says, my spouse just told me to stop worrying. I'm so thankful because now, right? I'm okay, right? No, right? That does not work. And so I was feeling like, does Jesus actually get how big this is? And then I started reading a couple different translations, and I got to the ESV, the English Standard Version. It's Pastor Ricky's favorite. He always reads from this. And it uses the word anxious and anxiety. It says this, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. The word anxious holds a lot more power for me. It's diagnosable. It is something that people need medicine for. I'm like, that's the kind of anxiety that I feel when I'm worried about something. It feels like Jesus realizes the depth of my worry when I read it that way. When years ago when I was training to be a therapist, one of the questions that we would ask people is, how long have you been feeling this way? No matter what the mental health thing was. And the reason this is so important is because the longer you experience that mental health issue, the more embedded it gets. Kind of see it as a rut in your brain. And some of you are like, yes, it does feel like a rut, right? And so the best medicine is to be proactive sooner rather than later. That's why you talk about, like, what are you doing to get up out of whatever it is, depression, anxiety, doesn't matter, because you don't want to go deeper and deeper into it. And it becomes something that isn't just simply going to go away, right? So this is what Jesus has to say. Goes on to say in verse 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Fear and anxiety is addressed in the scriptures more than 100 times. And I love that it's addressed more than 100 times, because then I think, okay, I'm still in what they would call the normal. Like if you were being diagnosed, it's normal. Like it's so normal. It's mentioned over 100 times in the scriptures. But it's also something he wants us to get after, right? If he's mentioning it that many times, that means it is important to not let it get out of control and take over our soul. It's a spiritual issue when anxiety takes over our lives. Now, I want to say this. We are created. God created us to be able to recognize danger. When I got to the top, too bad I didn't notice at the bottom. Oh, it's dangerous to be up here. My body told me. My palms were sweating. My heart was racing. That is God-given. But if we spend all way too much time at that heightened state, that's actually what wreaks havoc on our brain and our bodies, and we get to the place where we need a diagnosis and that we need help that is beyond just being able to pray ourselves through. Now, about 15 years ago, when I was still a youth pastor, I was hearing more and more teenagers tell me about their anxiety. And I was like, wow, anxiety must be new. Even though I had heard parents of teenagers talk about it all the time, I was thinking, this must be a new thing. And now we know it's because of we're spending a lot of time on technology, right? And that's what's feeding this anxiety. But what I love is Jesus addressed anxiety way before technology was invented. So anxiety is not new. It's not something that's surprising him. It is something that people have been dealing with for more than 2,000 years. And this is what Jesus has to say about it. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his or her lifespan of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What I love about this passage is when we go on social media, it's the same stuff. Oh, they're eating this really beautiful food. Oh, look at the cool drinks that they're drinking. Look at these amazing outfits. Now, it might be just my algorithms that are paying attention, but I have a lot of the amazing outfits that go by. And I'm like, yeah, I do need a new outfit. I have a very full closet. I do not need a new outfit. But when I click on it, I was like, $300 for a pair of pants, right? But suddenly I'm feeling this need for the new outfit and this new wardrobe and all the cool things. And really all of us have these moments where we think, if I just had more money, I would be able to have the cool car that person has. If I had more money, I could have the amazing house that these other people had. If I had more money, I could go on these amazing vacations where they're eating this amazing food and drinking these amazing drinks, right? But God says to us in response to that, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Maybe not the coolest outfit, maybe not the fancy drink, maybe not the beautiful food, but he's going to make sure that we are fed and that we have clothing to wear. He's basically saying we have the opportunity to choose how we respond to anxiety as it comes in, that we can kind of flip it on its head and say, wait, wait, wait. Is this about the kingdom of God, or is this about me wanting what someone else has? Back in 2005, I was flying to Honduras to go on a mission trip. It was amazing, and I was very excited about it. And as we were flying, all of a sudden, out of the blue, we just dropped like 1,000 feet. If you did not have your seatbelt on, you hit the ceiling. If you had a baby in your lap, it fell into the aisles. This I did not know happens. If you had glasses on, the lenses popped out. That was weird. And the lady next to me is screaming. She's like, my daughter, my daughter, my daughter. I'm like, where is she? She's like, she's not on the plane. I was like, she's fine, right? It's like everything is bedlam in this moment. And then it got real quiet, like too quiet. Like, where's the pilot? And I'm thinking, oh, great. That guy didn't have a seatbelt on. He hit his head and he's unconscious, right? Full minute goes by. A minute is a long time when something like that has happened. And then he's like, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I did not have any of my instruments. Like, everything had gone blank in that moment, which is why he could not talk to us, right? And I value that he stayed in his seat and was continuing to fly the plane. Basically, we got to land in the Grand Cayman Islands. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. We got to stay in a 5-star hotel overnight. Remember, I have 20 teenagers with me. Sounds lovely, but I had to make sure that everyone was behaving themselves at this 5-star hotel. But the next morning, they're like, we have a plane for you. You can, you know, continue to go seek the kingdom of God and do your work in Honduras. And so they're like, just hang on to your current boarding pass, because they're like, we don't need to do boarding passes again. Go ahead. And so we get on. And so we're all in the same seats. And the kid next to me is like, oh, weird. This seat is broken just like my one was yesterday in the other plane. And I was like, oh, no. Anxiety. Like, I wanted to just like scream out, like, everybody get off the plane. This is the same plane. Like, you know, but I knew that was good for no one, right? Oftentimes, the biggest gift that we give to other people in a time of crisis is actually being calm, and that's actually what Jesus is calling us to in this place. But it's hard. 1 Peter says this. It says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Sounds easy. I don't know about you, but I've tried to cast my cares to Jesus, and sometimes I'm like, I'm still thinking about it, I'm still having the anxiety. Since you've already heard two stories that maybe made your palms sweat too, we're going to do a little prayer together, and it's actually a physical prayer, so you need your hands. Go ahead and put your hands out like this. This is called palms up, palms down. And what I want you to do is I want you to imagine the thing that's causing you anxiety, whether it's my antics or your own, the thing that's causing you anxiety right now, the thing that you're worrying about, I want you to picture it in your hands right now. And then once you have that, you can go ahead and turn it over, cast it to Jesus. And one of the things I like to do is picture Jesus sitting on the throne when I do this. And I'm casting it to him, and I actually picture a box in front of him. My box is made of steel, and I put all my anxiety into that steel box. And I ask also, like, will you put a lid on that, please, right? Because they're starting to get back out. I don't know about you, but anxiety seems to creep back in real easily. And then sometimes I even say, now will you put your foot on top of that lid, please? Yeah, and Jesus is like, I got this. You have cast your anxiety to me, and I care for you. I am going to hold this for you. And if it's a person that was in your hands and you feel like that feels really mean to put them in a steel box and let Jesus stand on it, you can actually just hand that person over to Jesus and say, will you hold this person for me? It is too much for me to carry. And you can just imagine him holding that person and caring for that person because you cannot. Jesus wants to care for you. He does care for you. We are the ones that hold on to the anxiety and don't allow him to take it for us. Allow him to do that. I think one of the reasons we don't allow him to take our anxieties and our worries is because we think it's responsible to take care of our worries and our anxieties, right? I think I'll be a better pastor if I'm worrying and have anxiety about things, right? I'll be a better wife if I have worry and anxiety. I'll be a better dog mom if I'm worried about my little puppies. But that is a lie from the devil. And it doesn't make me more responsible because I am holding all of this anxiety. As I was looking at different translations, I was also looking at, like, what did it say in the Greek originally about all of this? And I'll tell you what it didn't say. It didn't say akuna matata. No worries. You have no responsibilities. You can do whatever you want. He doesn't mean that in this passage. It actually translates that we should do life with prudence and thoughtfulness, but with serenity and trusting God. That's really different. That's really different. I had to find, I remember George Costanza, serenity now, serenity now. I had to find my serenity when I was on the airplane with 20 teenagers that I was leading, right? Me freaking out was not going to help any one of them to do that. That was our plane. This is what's helping us go seek the kingdom of God and be a part of what he's doing. This is what we got. If we get off, I don't know. We'll have more anxiety, I promise, because now we'll be stuck here. Back when Jesus was walking the earth, fathers were called to be responsible for teaching their sons their vocation. And so when you think about what a father would do back then is he had to make sure that he was being prudent and responsible and teaching his child how to do what he does, but he was supposed to do it as he was trusting that God was going to make that child capable and able to do the vocation. That's the kind of anxiety that we are managing when we are doing life. Rodney and I have an anxious moment, I don't know, some couples it's like, they take turns. I don't know, you might be a take turn kind of couple. Most of the time we do, but every once in a while we like stir each other up, right? And we're both like zipping around the ceiling like, what's going to happen? And we're freaking out. We're created to freak out when something is real, but we as humans, I don't know if you do this, but you make up stories that haven't happened yet that are really, really bad. Like worst case scenario, and then you go one up your worst case scenario. I mean, I was already dead, right? With my brains, I added the brains. I was gonna try to land on my feet, right? Like I wasn't doing a head dive down, slipping off of the back of the climbing wall. So my new phrase with Rodney, when we both like get each other all amped up about anxiety, I was like, wait. How about if we don't think about this as the worst case scenario because it actually hasn't happened yet? And you know what? It might not. And so we are called to actually calm ourselves down, but that is hard to do. But I do feel like he addresses it here in this verse 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of his own. That's really what he's talking about when I say, let's not decide what is happening tomorrow that hasn't happened yet, that might not happen. We have to trust that God already knows what is going to happen, and he's going to take care of us. That's what he says in his scripture. Now, I've been thinking about this whole concept for the last 2 months because those of you who are in the small group already, I filmed that before Christmas, right? And now here it is, middle of February. So I've been really thinking about this and ruminating on it. And it was, I was realizing something shifted in me at some point in my life because I now will prepare for something that's fun the same way I prepare for something that's hard or bad. Anybody else do that? I'm like, oh, this is going to be terrible, right? It might be that I was the day that I realized the water park was no longer fun when you're in charge of keeping 40 teenagers alive, right? That might be when it shifted in me. But what I have realized over the years is really 90% of my life, bad things haven't happened. It's that small 10% that my physical body remembers and my mind remembers. Well, remember when that happened? That was terrible. But that's only 10% of my whole life, right? And I'm basing all of this prep, dread about something that actually I used to find fun. Remember when Christmas was fun and going on vacation was fun, right? Like you'd get all excited and you'd prepare, probably because your parents were doing it for you, right? There was no stress or anxiety in that. But I realized that I wanted to live differently in these last 2 months. Like, I don't want to live in dread of what is coming or what could happen. I wanna enjoy life again, like a kid, like look forward to things. And so I actually practice, because we, every Christmas day, we jump in the car and we drive to Florida and do fun things. And prior to that, I would get all worked up and I'd be worried. I'd be like, you know, what if this happens while we're gone to the house or to the dogs or whatever? What if, right? What if while we're driving? All the things. Because things have happened, right? But that's only 10%. And so I always pick a word for the year. And this year I chose the word wonder. I want to sit in wonder of what God might do. But I also, it's a way of praying daily for the next year. When the dread comes, instead I'm going to say things like, I wonder what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I wonder if it'll be great. So just a couple weeks ago, right after the storm, the Monday after the ice and snow fell, I was scheduled to fly out. And so I was like, oh, I have to practice, because this feels like I was already a little bit nervous about flying. I've had some things happen in the air. And so I was already a little bit anxious. I said, but I'm practicing the word wonder. And so as the snow fell and I kept getting the updates that your flight is on time, your flight is on time. And my husband would say, do you think you're going to fly out? Do you think it'll be on time? I'm like, I'm thinking that the roads are going to be clear and I'm going to fly out. Like, I was like practicing, saying it out loud and in my heart. And I didn't know. I had to just wonder what was going to happen. And it just kept saying it over and over again. Flight's on time, flight's on time. And you know what happened? We took off almost on time. Miraculous. We got out of the driveway. I packed my bag for below zero weather in Chicago. It was miraculous. But I had to shift gears from the anxiety that I was feeling about what if, what if, what if, and shift into, I'm going to learn so much when I go on to this pastor's conference. I'm going to see people I haven't seen for 7 years. It's going to be great. It's going to be different. Now, back from 2005 to 2019, I didn't live this way from about Christmas time until middle of January. And it was because I took kids on a ski trip every year in late January. And so right around Christmas time, as I'm making my Christmas list, I'm like, oh no, here it comes. I need a warmer coat. I was freezing last year. I need to make sure I pack my slippers, because I stepped in water when I was in the cabin last year, because you have to take your boots off at the door, all this. Oh, gosh, I need to get ski goggles this year, because I couldn't see because it was below zero when we were skiing. And I was getting all ramped up. I have my anti-nausea medicine, because the first year we went, I vomited on the bus. Like, all of these things, I was getting all amped up. I know. It's not a good look for a leader to be doing that. So all of these things for an entire month I'm worrying about and stressing about and packing, I mean, way more than anyone should take on a 4-day trip. And what, I mean, I had to take the trip. It was my job. But you know what would have been great? Just having a miserable 4 days instead of a month and a half. Right? I was wasting my life. And this is what Jesus knows, is we waste our lives on worry and dread, anticipating something. I actually love to downhill ski and ice skate and snowshoe and sit with teenagers having deep spiritual conversations, not as late as they like, but I actually enjoy those things. And instead, I was dreading all of the bad things that could happen, rather than thinking about what, I wonder what could happen while we are there. Somehow I thought it was being a responsible leader and hyperfixating. Maybe it's because I made sure that we all had permission slips, because you know what happens is downhill skiing is someone always gets hurt, which is also some of the things that I was getting after. But it's important for us to listen to what God's word says, because Christ points out to us very specifically, no matter what we're dealing with, whether it's chronic illness, family members with mental health issues, financial stress, marital difficulties, memory loss, work stress, will I ever find someone to marry or someone to marry again? The list could go on. And you know what Jesus says? He says in verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his or her span of life? Not one of us. We change nothing by worrying. It's a great quote I came across as I was studying. It says, anxiety is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it doesn't get you very far. So what does help? Prayer. Prayer helps. Palms up, palms down. But another one of my favorites is actually breath prayer. And this one, you are breathing in and you pray a half of the prayer. And when you breathe out, you pray the other half of the prayer. And just a couple weeks ago, if you don't know, we have new little puppies in our house. This is little baby Rizzo. He is mostly ears. He is adorable, but he woke up in the middle of the night crying. And I was like, oh no, instant freak out, right? He's our new puppy. And he like rolled over. I was like, does your belly hurt? And then he vomited. I was like, okay, yes. And then he sat at the end of the bed and I stared at him and he stared at me. And I was like frozen, right? Fight, flight, or freeze. I was frozen. I didn't know what to do for this little guy. And Rodney's like, well, do you think he has to poop? And he like picked him up and put him down. Sure enough, the little guy had to poop. But he was still shaking. And so I was like, well, maybe he's cold. So I pulled him up and put his little blanket. He has a little tiny blanket. Put the little blanket on him, curled up real close to my neck and my ear. And he stopped shaking, but he was still breathing heavy. And I was like, gosh, what is wrong with him? And then I started praying my breath prayer that I had just created like 2 days before, because I'm in a small group as well. And I created one from Joshua 1:9 that says, be strong and courageous. So I was breathing in, be strong and courageous, dog mama. And breathing out, I am with you wherever you go. I needed to remember that God was present. He knew what was going on in little baby Rizzo's little body. And then I was actually able to settle myself down enough to then start praying for him, like, Lord, you know what's going on in his little body. And all of a sudden, his little body got very calm, and he fell asleep, and we all slept through the night. This past week, I preached this last Sunday, and someone woke up on Monday morning with a major medical thing going on. And I made my way over to the emergency room, and as soon as I came through the door, I was like, anxiety is so high right now, I'm just going to start praying. So I'm like, I'm just going to start praying. So I started praying, and the calm came over the room, and I said, did you make a breath prayer yet? Yeah, I've already been using it. And at the end of that day, in the group text, it was like a whole 12-hour affair. At the end of that day, the group text that had been going all day, that person put in the text thread, breath prayer works. Make sure you got yours. And so that's what I want to say to you this morning, is prayer works. It's the thing that God calls us to when we have anxiety. Find your breath prayer. That's what I want to encourage you this morning. Find a breath prayer, because when you have anxiety, it's actually another part of the Greek translation is anxiety, as it is in here, talks about it divides your thoughts. And if you've ever had real anxiety, you cannot think straight. It all goes into the worst case scenario, and you are not able to think the good patterns that you have in your life that you know how to do. And so the breath prayer, actually creating that before you are in an anxiety moment, actually gives you the ability to let your thoughts not be divided anymore. And you can pray the breath prayer, and it'll calm you down, and you can think straight again. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us the tool of prayer, that we can connect with you. And it's not just about like blurting out what we need, but it's about you allowing us to be comforted by you, to feel your presence. God, this week I ask that you would guard our hearts and that you would allow us, when that anxiety comes, that we would be able to pray and enter into your presence, whether we use palms up, palms down, breath prayer, or some other way of remembering that you are there and with us. God, we need you. We're desperate for you, and we love you, and we trust you, even in our anxiety. In your name we pray, Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.